Now, the DUP leader, Arlene Foster, has said that she might leave the country in the event of a united Ireland. The former First Minister was speaking on Patrick Keatley's documentary, My Dad, The Peace Deal and Me, which aired on BBC One on Wednesday night.
If the majority did want to join the rest of Ireland, how would it feel to be a unionist outside of the UK?
First of all, I don't think it's going to happen.
Let's get that very clear.
Let's get that in. It's a very hypothetical situation to be in, but if it were to happen, I'm not sure that I would be able to continue to live here. I would feel so strongly about it, I would probably have to move.
Where would you go?
Well, that's the question. It's not going to happen, so I don't have to worry about it, I don't think, in any time soon.
Do you think you'd have to move if there was a united Ireland? How do you reckon your life would change? Would it change for the better? Would it change for the worse? And what's your reaction to Arlene Foster saying this? 0330 80 55 55. Tom Elliott from the Ulster Unionist Party. Morning to you, Tom.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. Are you surprised by this?
Well, I suppose I didn't hear the programme, Stephen, but the one thing that Arlene did say is that it's not going to happen, and I think that's right too. And that's why I suppose most unionists haven't given it a huge amount of thought. Clearly, people, I suppose, quite often are taken unawares if they're asked that. But to be fair, I suppose, people that did live in the Republic of Ireland, from a unionist perspective, a lot of them had moved to Northern Ireland or to other parts of the world because they felt under so much pressure for decades.
Isn't it interesting that's Arlene's reaction rather than, well, if there was a united Ireland, I'd fight. I'd fight to try to change it again, or I'd try to adapt, or she'd get out of the country. She doesn't even know where she'd go, Tom.
Yes, obviously things would change significantly. You're moving from what is a huge economic base of the United Kingdom into a much smaller nation of the Republic of Ireland. And
would you leave the country too?
Well, as I said, Stephen, it's not something I'd ever given any thought to, but my initial reaction would be no, it's my home and I would want to remain in my home. Obviously, there would be massive changes and you would have to discuss and look at all of these things if it was imminent, but it's not imminent, so I'm not
what massive
at it,
changes.
That's my initial reaction.
What massive changes? Seriously, well, what massive changes would there be? There wouldn't be massive changes immediately, would there?
Well, I think you need to look at even practical things. You know, you pay for a GP's appointment in the Republic of Ireland, so you would be immediately hit with issues like that. And that's only from a practical perspective. You know, the education system is different. So you have all these practical issues that are different, and then you look at the much wider economy, which is a massive difference, and you know, even the social security benefit system is different. So again, clearly you would be looking at those practical things first and foremost.
Well, there's an economy there growing quicker than the UK's.
Yeah, but it's not as big or as strong as the UK economy, and I think one big issue that we did realise, Stephen, was when the downturn in the economy came, you know, about 10 years ago, the United Kingdom economy was much bigger and was able to withstand that economic pressure, whereas the Republic of Ireland wasn't, and that's why they got into significant difficulty at the time.
Alex Kane and Andre Murphy with us today as well. Morning to Alex. Morning, Andre.
Morning.
Alex, this obviously part of Patrick Keilty's documentary. So, you know, she didn't plan to say it, but she was asked about it. She answered the question. What's it tell us about Arlene Foster?
It seemed a very strange, almost gut reaction. But in one sense, Stephen, in fairness to her, I'm not saying I agree with her conclusion. In fairness to her, there's not much else she could say, because the story would have been, that would have been a major story, a different major story the next day, had it been DUP leader says she would stay and, you know, fight to make a united Ireland this, a fight to make a united Ireland that. So people, oh, she expected one Ireland. She had to say, look, I'm not anticipating it, but if it happens, you know, I might move. I think there was no, I sense she was slightly caught off guard. But yet, you know, Stephen, I think the important thing about this, it isn't just what happened in Patrick's documentary, which is a very important, very good documentary, by the way, in terms of the Good Friday Agreement and where we are. But what I think it has to, post-Brexit, whether we like it or not, Tom mentioned today, you know, not a lot of unionists have given a great deal of thought to it. My own gut instinct, it's not going to happen anytime soon. But the fact is, unity, Irish unity, is on the agenda, near the top of the agenda, in a way it has never been in my lifetime. I think unionists...
Do you think so?
Take that on board. Yes, because it's been talked about in the way, simply, a number of things at play, Stephen. Brexit, obviously. People are bringing people who might have been happy enough, small unionists, small NLASs, happy enough to stay...
Well, the irony is, of course, if you're right, it was the DUP that wanted Brexit.
Well, look, I supported leaving the European Union as well, Stephen. But I was aware, I wrote at the time... that if it did happen, it would bring consequences, it would bring questions, particularly existential questions. But I wasn't afraid of that, because I think there's a case to be made for the union. I think if it's made properly and coherently, I think enough people would say, well, actually, that is quite a good argument. There are strong arguments. But in terms of, you know, of leaving, say people, unionists leaving, if it was to happen, the fact is, you know, there's a practical question. You know, just uprooting yourself, selling your house, leaving your job, leaving friends behind, and then going somewhere. England, Scotland, which may be leaving the United Kingdom as well. There are so many questions there. So in one sense, it was a good question for Paddy to ask, and a good way, in one sense, for Ireland to answer. But it's an issue. We can't pretend that Irish unity is not been talked about by Leo Varadkar or Micheál Martin. It's not been talked about by the SDLP or Sinn Féin. It's not been talked... I've heard people who are small unionists, in some family connected to me, Stephen, who have said, you know, who don't want to leave the European Union, who are slightly worried about what might happen to the United Kingdom. And one said to me quite recently, Alex, if there was a border poll, I have to tell you, I'm not 100% certain I would vote to stay in the Union anymore. That, we have to bear that in mind.
And there's so many questions that are prompted by Arlene Foster's comments that she would get out of the country if there was United Ireland. You know, where else would be better to live? Would you really get up and walk out if it were United Ireland? How would life change within the short to medium term? And also, how many unionists would actually, you know, Tom Elliott has said, well, he would stay at home. He, you know, this is where your home is. This is where your family is. This is what you know. Can you think of anywhere, Tom, you'd rather be?
Well, no, obviously, I suppose we have the best of a lot of worlds because we're part of Northern Ireland, which is, loved by a lot of people throughout the world, and still we're part of the United Kingdom, which is a strong economy. So, yes, Stephen, I suppose we have the privilege of being in the best of both worlds. And I think those practical things that Alex talked about are realistic enough. And I suppose... what I think actually is, after Brexit, whatever does happen, I think people in the Republic of Ireland, and I know not everybody will agree with this, but people in the Republic of Ireland will actually be looking to see if they would be better throwing in their stall with the United Kingdom outside of the European Union. And I'm not saying they will do that, but I think that is a question that will come to many of the leaders within the Republic of Ireland. Would we be better in or out of the European Union?
You seriously think they're even contemplating that?
Well, I do. You know,
there's no evidence that they're contemplating that.
No, there may not, Stephen. I accept that. I accept there may not be any evidence. But I'm just saying, as time progresses, if Brexit works well for the United Kingdom, I think you will see people in the Republic of Ireland starting to question whether they're better aligned to the European Union or aligned with a much stronger trading partner of the United
Kingdom.
Let's
get our first call of the day. Jared in Belfast. Morning, Jared.
Hello, good morning, Stephen. Stephen, I watched that programme with Paddy and Arlene the other night. I think it's a bit hypocritical of Arlene when she knows the terms of the Good Friday Agreement, that there's going to be a referendum on the Constitution.
Well, it's not hypocritical, is it? Because she's been a unionist all her life. She's not contemplating anything else, and there's no hypocrisy about it.
Well, she's going against democracy. If the people in the North decide for United Ireland, she doesn't like your outcome, so she's going to jump ship.
That's not going against democracy. That's accepting the decision and moving elsewhere because of it.
Well, I mean, the Good Friday Agreement allows for... I mean, the union is not safe. The Good Friday Agreement allows for a referendum, and if it's unsuccessful, there's going to be one every 7 years. So, I mean, I think she should be straightforward with her followers and tell her that the union is not safe.
Well, it might not technically be safe, but do you think that we're any closer to United Ireland than we were 5 years ago?
Well, when Arlene Foster was Peter Robinson's deputy, she brought it up to Peter Robinson to call for a referendum, yet now she's leader, she's jumping hidden behind the wardrobe.
I don't know if she's hiding behind anywhere. By the way, just before we go to our next call, the UFC fighter Conor McGregor has been charged with 3 counts of assault and 1 of criminal mischief, according to the New York Police Department. There's some video footage online, which is quite extraordinary, actually, if you want to have a look at that yourself. But Conor McGregor charged now with 3 counts of assault and 1 of criminal mischief, according to the New York Police Department. Andre Murphy.
Good morning.
How many people do you think would get out? How many unionists do you think would actually walk? That's a big thing. Leave their family, home, leave everything they've known all their life. Would a United Ireland be that bad?
Well, to be honest with you, I thought that it was very sad when she said it, because what she was clearly doing was displaying fear. And for someone who is a leader with an incredibly strong mandate, I felt that it was a missed opportunity for her. So, of course, there's a debate around the United Ireland, and the demographics have been changing anyway, and Brexit has changed the landscape around the debate around the United Ireland. She could have used what was a very friendly conversation based around themes of reconciliation and healing, use that conversation to express concerns about the debate around the United Ireland, how she'd like to see the debate going, the questions she'd like to see asked. And instead, she had an absolutist position around it and kind of probably reflecting her own fears, but also stoking other people's fears. And, you know, for a leader in her position, that was just pretty sad, to be honest with you. For myself, I absolutely want a United Ireland, but I want everyone to feel comfortable in it. Our history shows what happens when people feel something is forced upon them, that it isn't good for them, that they don't have a place in it. We don't want to repeat that history in a United Ireland by any way, shape or form. So I think everything is on the table now in the discussion. In recent weeks, we've heard Republicans and Nationalists talking about anthems and flags and about whether we could be part of the Commonwealth, whether the Northern Assembly could remain within the context of the United Ireland. The debate is very positive and open.
Yeah.
And I just think Arlene needs to be part of that, because, you know, it's okay if people have lots of money and they could consider that as an option if they are so fearful. There's lots of people for whom that is absolutely not an option.
Yeah.
And we have got to make this debate something that people don't fear, but something they can engage with. And we go into a referendum where we just go, okay, we'll make our decision.
To be fair, though, Alex Kane, we know the background of Arlene Foster's family. They were the victim of Republican violence. And maybe she feels very different to some unionists who live in leafy suburbs of Belfast who haven't been directly affected.
I'm not sure that's true, Stephen, because yes, it will have an effect. And personally, we had a number of family friends, including 2 very, very close friends of my dad's, who were killed by the IRA. And yes, in the back of your mind, something at the time, the Good Friday Agreement and other things. I was mindful of that. I remember speaking to the mother of a friend of mine who was killed, and it explained to her what my thinking was. And she just put her arm on my shoulder and said, Alex, do what you think is right for the future of Northern Ireland. Do what you think. She hadn't got in her yet to be able to forgive, but she didn't want violence. She didn't want to go back to where we'd been. She thought a chance was available and so on. So, yes, I can understand the psychological problem that unionists have. I can understand the psychological problems, Stephen, that nationalists may have in terms of thinking the British state is no friend of theirs. But just touching about what Andre said, if that had been me, and maybe it's because I've been writing about it for the past year anyway, but if someone had asked me about that question about the United Ireland Union, I would have said, look, I'm mindful that there's a debate. I'm mindful that people are thinking about it. I'm mindful that Brexit and other things have made people focus on issues that they've never focused on before. Then I would say, but actually, as someone who believes in the Union, as someone who believes in the fundamental values of the Union, here are very strong reasons for staying. I was just a little bit, maybe not saddened in the sense Andre made, just a little bit disappointed that the leader of unionism, with a massive mandate, didn't take that little moment just to say, well, actually, just off the top of my head, here are 3 or 4 reasons underpinning the value of the United Kingdom. And that's the message I will take to people who want to unite. We didn't get that. We just say, oh, no. And the other thing that's worth saying, Stephen, I'm sorry. I can understand people who will have to make this decision when it comes, if there is a United Ireland, whether they'll stay or not. Leader of unionism, someone whose job is to make the case for the union, Yes, you can make it, democracy or is involved in someone, but just to say, well, actually, I would just leave without even saying I wouldn't. I would look at the situation. I would consider my own personal. I would consider how I protect unions and British citizens, of how our own culture can all that be taken into. You know, didn't just give nothing, I'd go. Now, I think she just has to be very careful because that just makes it sound not. In one sense, it almost makes it sound a little bit defeatist. I think it was just she missed the chance. Maybe it was edited out. Maybe she gave a longer answer. But just that answer we got just seemed to me a little bit of, oh, well, no, I'll just leave. I don't give it.
Let's see what we're saying at home. William in Belfast. Morning, William.
Good morning, Steve. Stephen, I would ask Patrick, is he going to come home when it's the United Ireland? I would also ask Dennis Taylor, ask Graham Norton, and Martin O'Neill. I could go on. It's very, very good for some of these people to want a united Ireland, but love living in Britain or America or elsewhere. That is the fact.
What's that say about anything? Why are you drawing?
Can you hear me, Steve?
Yes, I can hear you. Why are you drawing an inference to the fact that Paddy lives in Los Angeles now?
Well, he fell in love.
He's gone off to live with his wife.
You'd be taking me down a road I don't want to do. There's 6 million Irish people live in Britain enjoying a British way of life. And there's a million of us here can't get peace with it. And that's the point that I'm making. And it doesn't matter how economical or how well Britain would do. It's ingrained. You should be asking Gerry Adams, would he ever, ever accept a United Kingdom way of life?
Well, of course he wouldn't want a United...
Can't hear you.
Okay, William, we'll move on to the next caller. Brian in Andersonstown. Morning, Brian.
Stephen, just... Well, listen, that chap speaking there now. The question I want to ask is to unions, and I'm not going back 50 years now. I can understand unions failing then, but now, what is wrong with an All-Ireland? Can some of the unionist probably come on and explain what is, I mean, they have this dislike for the Republic of Ireland.
What's wrong with the United Kingdom?
Steve, I live in Ireland. I mean, I live in Northern Ireland, and I live in Belfast. But my question to
wrong with the position you've currently got?
Well, it's not. I mean, when the time is right for nationalists and unionists to agree.
Turn your own question on yourself. What's wrong with your life, your standard of living, as you are now? Why would your life be better in the United Ireland?
I'm not saying it will be better.
Well, what's the point then?
I've been on your program before saying, someone come on and explain to me what is the benefits for me to go into an All-Ireland for my family and my family to come in the future. And, I mean, I'm not saying this. All I want to know from the unionists, they seem to say that they throw this away all together. They just don't want to talk about an All-Ireland. All I'm saying is, if the time is right, and what is wrong with an All-Ireland? I mean, if it's right, when the time comes, if it's right for nations and unions to come together and say an All-Ireland, it'll come. I don't know when it'll come. It could be north 50, 60, 100 years. All I'm saying is, when the time is right, what is wrong with an All-Ireland?
Alex Kane, do you want to try to answer that?
Well, the thing is, you said, I think the question was, what have unionists got the angst about a United Ireland? Well, let me just put it from a purely personal point of view, and this probably affects everyone, every citizen of any country in the world. I was born, whatever people who believe in the Irish Republic or whatever think, I was born in the United Kingdom. I was born a citizen of the United Kingdom. And no one has ever made a convincing argument to me that I should swap my citizenship of the United Kingdom for another citizenship. I'm not saying that there isn't an argument to be made, but just to be told, oh, Ireland deserves to be united. You know, it's 800 years of oppression. We deserve this. We deserve that. If you want Irish unity, there's a huge argument. It's not just economic, Stephen. It's emotional. It's personal. It's identity. What happens? You know, people say, in under partition, if you were a Republican, if you were someone who still believed in the United Ireland, you had the right, and I don't mean physical force fighting, but you had the right to continue to believe in that, to aspire to that, to vote for that, to work for that, to make that happen again. If you're a unionist and you voted out of the United Kingdom and into a new United Ireland, where's your identity? And no one's going to say to me, oh, in 7 years' time, Alex, we'll have another referendum just in case unionists want to go back into the United Kingdom or there's a majority to break up Ireland again. In effect, a United Ireland ends unionism. It ends that identity in a sense that partition never ended the Republic's
Andrew?
Identity. And you can never, that's a problem, you can never get round that identity issue.
Andre?
Well, I think Alex has raised a very important point. I mean, the reality is, since partition, people who lived here as Irish citizens were never able to express their culture, their identity, and their Irish. And that has been at the centre of recent political discord. We don't want to repeat that. So we do need to have a conversation about how we can have people who live in this island together, who can maintain their Britishness and their British citizenship. I think that has to be part of the debate. So when people are talking about, some sort of Commonwealth that has particular expressions of British citizenship that are here, I think that's absolutely vital to what we're going to discuss next. We're certainly not going to have a referendum on a Wednesday that maybe is 50+1, and then on a Thursday everyone calls themselves Irish who haven't been Irish before. I don't want that, and I don't think many people want that either. We need to have a much more mature, complex conversation than that, because we have had the experience of what Northern nationalism has experienced for the past 100 years, and we definitely don't want to repeat
that. If Arlene Foster wants to move to another part of the UK, she's entitled to him. Why is that wrong?
Well, you see, the point is, isn't that she has any rights or wrong. Of course, she can move whenever she wants, but the point is, she is the leader of the Democratic Unionist Party with a huge mandate for people who live here and do have their citizenship here, and she needs to be more responsible to ensure that those citizens feel secure, are not afraid, and that they can all engage on an equal basis in this debate, and that it isn't turned into something that's toxic.
Gary and Carrickfergus. Morning, Gary.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, Gary.
No one has raised the point here. I am a unionist. I was born, just like Alex Kane says, a British citizen, a Northern Ireland citizen. I have no affinity to the Irish Republic whatsoever, nor never will have. Speaking from someone who's lived in Carrickfergus all my life, I can assure you we will never accept the United Ireland. You're looking at war here.
So you wouldn't...
We have a right to exist, and as in a United Ireland, that would not be possible.
So you wouldn't, accept the democratic principle of the Good Friday Agreement?
I'm sorry, but that standard was set in 1921 when Republicans refused to accept the will of the Irish people when Ireland was partitioned. My country was born.
And if all unionist rights, Gary, were protected, that wouldn't be enough for you?
What unionist rights? Well, how would my unionist rights be protected in a foreign country? Explain that to me.
Stephen, in 1998, we all agreed that we would not go back to war, that we would all recognise the demographics and the demise.
Yeah, but how many people think like Gary?
Quite a lot, well, Stephen. And here's the thing. The Good Friday Agreement is dead. Sinn Féin walked away from it when they shut down Stormont.
Would you get out of the country, Gary?
No chance. I stand and fight.
And I
was born here. I will die here.
And what you're actually saying, Gary, is back to the days of violence.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying, Stephen. We did not go through 40 years of what we've been through at the hands of these people to turn around and hand it to them on a plate over a 50+1 vote. Not a chance in hell.
Andre?
Right, so I'm just going to say it again. In 1998, 20 years ago this week, we decided that we would do this democratically, and that we would all recognise each other's citizenship, and we would all agree that we would resolve all of our differences in a peaceful way. So while Gary has that point of view, what he needs to do is go away and think about that and find how he can express his very deep-seated concerns in a democratic way and persuade me that my future, living in Belfast, remains with the current settlement rather than any United
rather than threatening war, Gary.
Well, it's, I guess they have the same right as anyone else. If they don't like the United Kingdom, they're free to leave at any time. The border is open.
Well, you would have the same right as anyone else that if the democratic will of the people was a United Ireland, you could get out.
Well, why would I want to get out? Why would I want to leave my home? I was born under a union flag. I am entitled to die under it.
So you clearly don't believe in democracy.
Well, Republicans don't believe in democracy. Ireland was partitioned in 1921 and Republicans never accepted it. They waged war here for nearly 100 years. You think we're just going to turn around and hand it to them on a plate?
You know, under the Good Friday Agreement.
The Good Friday Agreement's dead, Stephen. Sinn Féin have walked away from it.
And I think
people started to wake up and smell the coffee.
Well, obviously Sinn Féin would say they haven't walked away from anything.
Well, they're not making decisions in Stormont, which they're elected to do by their own people.
Why do you say this country's in a dangerous situation. Why do you say that?
We have no government. We are sitting in a vacuum here tonight. You have to remember this, Stephen. Loyalists called a ceasefire out of prison, a winning position. We made the important step. We could have pushed on with the war. Republicans know that.
Alex Kane, how reflective do you think Gary's comments of a wider sense within unionism?
I think there's clearly a fear within certain elements of unionism, loyalism about this, Stephen. But I have to say, on a personal level, I am very, very uncomfortable with Gary's line, because whether we like it or not, you know, the Good Friday, whatever Gary may think, I don't know whether he voted for it or not, a majority of people, including a majority of unionists, voted for the Good Friday Agreement. Again, whether he likes it or not, we live in a democracy, and sometimes the consequence of a democracy is a vote goes away you don't want. And I said earlier to you, your point, Stephen, about the unionist identity, I don't know if it can be, if it's protected. In my own case, and I wrote this a couple of years ago in a piece in the Irish News, that I would look, if there was a vote to take us into United Ireland, I've never favoured, ever, Stephen, you'll know, anyone who knows me, anyone who's watched me, my writing, listened to me over the past 30 years, will know I have always said no to violence of any sort, whether from the Loyalist side or the Republican side. That is never the way to deal with something. For someone like me, if there's a United Ireland, we have to look at all the considerations, all what the identity, the economy, everything involved. Then I will make a decision whether I want to stay in that country. I would never, Stephen, in word or deed, even a throwaway line, suggest that to anyone that lifting a weapon or start using the language of, you know, I was born here, I will die with a gun in my hand, I will die under my flag, and so on. I can understand Gary's angst, because I would have it as unionist as well. It's my identity too, Stephen. But honestly, if a majority in Northern Ireland vote to leave the United Kingdom, then I'm sorry, you know, that's democracy. And Gary has another point to think about. Look at Scotland, saying in the next couple of years, and it's not impossible, saying Scotland decided they wanted to leave the United Kingdom because they weren't happy with the Little Englander mentality, they weren't happy with being outside the European Union. Is he saying that a minority, whether it's a big minority or small minority in Scotland, who are not happy with that decision, who are not happy being voted out of their home, that they too should take up arms? Because if that's the case, Gary, we're going to end up with civil war in two parts of the United Kingdom.
Well, there are some callers who want to take you on, Gary. Stay there. We'll let them at you. After the news, it's 9:31.